I am Plant on the Line in Vancouver, British Columbia at thecommentary.ca. Hassan Kanafani is a pseudonym of a young man in Gaza who posted to Reddit eyewitness accounts of what was happening around him. He described his life as a displaced citizen and expressed frustrations about what he was experiencing and seeing. Soon, an effort was afoot with people in various cities and countries to get all of this writing published. Yasuko Tan, who joins me now, was attending a rally for Palestine in Victoria when she was told of this effort to publish a book of Kanafani's writing so that there could be some money for him and his family. That book, published earlier this month, is Pizza Before We Die, an eyewitness account in Gaza. I'll ask Yasuko, who spoke to me 2 weeks ago from Victoria, about what the writing represents and its importance in getting a sense of what's really happening on the ground. I'll get Yasuko to tell us about the editing process and how they arrived at the book's title. I'll also ask her about how she built trust between her and Hassan and how they've regarded one another through the editing and publishing of this book. Yasuko Tan is a writer and creative writing instructor at the University of Victoria. Her first novel, Mysterious Fragrance of the Yellow Mountains, won the 2016 Rogers Writers Trust Fiction Prize. Her best-selling memoir, Mistakes to Run With, was a finalist for the Jim Diva Prize for Writing That Provokes. Her most recent novel is To the Bridge, and her forthcoming novel, The Falling Maria, will be out in 2027. Pizza Before We Die is published by Arsenal Pulp Press. Please welcome to the Plant on the Line program, Yasuko Tan. Ms. Tan, good morning.
Good morning. Thank you so much for chatting with me about Hassan's book.
Yeah, so let's begin with Hassan Kanafani. That's a pseudonym, obviously. Do you know how he came up with the name?
I do, actually. I was the one that told him, hey, we need to come up with a last name. Mm-hmm. I think you should choose Kanafani, because then you'll be next to Hassan Kanafani on the bookshelves. And he was like, you know, because obviously those are pretty big footsteps to follow. But in the end, he was like, okay, let's do it.
So without, because he obviously has to use a pseudonym for his safety, without harming him, what can you tell us about him and as you've gotten to know him? He's a young person, isn't he? He's under 40, is that right?
Yes, he is. I can let you know that he's a young man. He's actually under 30.
Ah, okay.
He's a graduate from the university with a degree in architecture. So he's not a writer at all. He was somebody who, in the midst of the press, killed by the IDF, picked up the pen and, you know, decided to witness to the truth. Like you said, at risk to his own life, which is why he is using a pseudonym. I can tell you that he is still in a camp in Al-Mawasi. And, taking it day by day.
How does he get away with writing in terms of not, people would if they saw someone writing, would wonder what they were doing. Does he have a problem with that, say?
I don't think it's the general public that, you know, he needs to worry about. It's not like your neighbor is going to turn you in. You know, it's more people who they know are getting the message out. So people who are posting live footage on Instagram and different social media accounts. And, you know, I don't know all of the technology involved, but, you know, they can, when I say they, I mean the Israelis, the Israeli occupation, Israeli intelligence can track these people through their telephones and, you know, thereby that's how they become targets.
How do you build trust? I mean, he's someone who you've gotten to know, obviously. You've exchanged emails. You've talked on the phone, I guess. Have you seen one another?
No, we've never done a live video chat. We use, I don't suppose it's harmful to say what we use. We chat on WhatsApp.
Mm.
Yeah.
And so in terms of building the trust with someone you obviously don't know, but you get to know through his writing, it's one thing to establish a relationship that way. But, I mean, there's a greater sense of trust that you have to gain as the editor, isn't there?
Yeah, and in this case, the amount of trust that he needed to place in me was quite great, also considering the fact that, you know, he didn't know me from Adam, although I did send him, I don't know if it was the Wikipedia page or something like that that he saw, you know, just to say, I am qualified, like, mm-hmm. I am actually a writer. As I say in the introduction of the book, because the mission was to find a publisher as quickly as possible so that I could find one willing to offer an advance and get him the money he so desperately needed in Gaza, I said right from the get-go, we're not going to have time to spend half an hour debating the placement of a comma, for instance, you know. You're going to just have to trust me to do this work, and I want to do it with your permission and your blessing. And this is a story that I've told before, but I'll say it again. He said, well, we have a saying in Arabic, give the bread to the baker, even if he burns half, which is a take on even if he eats half. And yeah. I said, you know, I promise to only burn a quarter. He said, I like your sense of humor. Let's do this. And so the process that actually took was I would do each chapter chunk and then send him the chapter to look at quickly to give his approval. Then I would send off another one. And that's how we did it. I think there's 12 short chapters in total.
It's remarkable to read in the introduction how quickly you found out about the writing, how you came aboard with another set of eyes in terms of editing the manuscript and how it gets to the publisher, Arsenal Pulp Press. All told, it's about a month or less, right?
It was 3 weeks.
Wow.
3 weeks from my learning about Hassan to having the publishing contract. 3 weeks. Absolutely incredible. And I don't have enough good things to say about Arsenal. They are just amazing. They put a hold on their catalog so that they could include him, and just have done so much to bring this book to the world. You know, at a time where I would say it's still costly to be doing so. Yeah. Here we have a publishing house that has said they're all about publishing marginalized voices, and they actually mean it, and they actually do it. It's amazing.
When you first saw the writing, as a not just as a writer, but as a reader, what did you see that moved you in particular?
When I did the first editing pass, I was really not thinking into the stories themselves because they are so heartbreaking and fill me with so much anger. I would not have been able to see through my tears to do the work. So I was looking at sentences just as units of grammar on the line level, and shaping them in that way. It wasn't until after I had hit send on the final manuscript and really sat down to read the words themselves that, and to this day, you know, when I flip open the book,
yeah.
It just floors me. I mean, every single sentence, you know, Gaza is a place where they don't have to try to work emotion into the line the way that readers in the free world might have to. There, it's just a daily recounting of events, and the effect on the reader is just immense.
And I understand, as you write in the introduction, that as you got the manuscript, there was grief in your own life. What did you glean from the writing about courage?
I'll apologize in advance if I get choked up at this point. you know, it, yeah, it was a rough time. I also had a daughter in the hospital. But speaking with Hassan and even just sharing with him what was going on in my own life made me understand, well, at least here we have hospitals, you know, and to have somebody who is in the belly of the beast and, you know, going through so much suffering of his own, reach out and say, you know, like, how are you doing today? Have you eaten today? And just giving me images of courage. You know, he would send me photographs of children who were so committed to learning and their schoolwork that they were setting up in the craters left by bombs to continue their studies. I mean, just like, oh,
yeah.
When I say that everything that I have learned about faith and courage comes from Palestine, it's definitely not understating it.
Hassan, in his writing, you know, though he's writing often of horrifying and tragic circumstances, he seems to have a lot of hope. That's something that comes through in his writing. I don't think you had to encourage that at all as the editor, did you?
No, not at all. And I think I've even noted to him on occasion, you know, just how admirable that is, because if that was me living through those things, I don't know whether I could feel so hopeful or whether my words could, I would be so freaking angry at the rest of the world. I don't know if my writing would be full of rancor and bitterness and anger
And there's humor too, isn't there?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's reflected in the title, Pizza Before We Die.
Whose choice was that? Was that his?
Well, we had a couple of shortlisted titles. One was Pizza Before We Die, and the other one was This Is How They Kill Us. And both of those were taken from the names of chapters in the book. And Hassan said, well, I'm not sure if this is kind of your wheelhouse. You know, you know what will what will help the book sell best or reach the most people. You know, I'll leave it up to you to decide. And it felt like such a big choice. I wasn't sure either. And so I asked some friends of mine, kind of did a crowd poll, what they thought. And all of my friends from West Asia, who are mostly Palestinian, said that they liked Pizza Before We Die. And my white friend said that they liked the other. So I went with the I went with the ones that my Palestinian friends had given the thumbs up to.
Yeah, it's such a... you know, again, it's another example of humor, if you will. Not humor, I shouldn't say that, because it's not ha-ha funny, but it's sort of the ironic, I guess, that this is the title of the book, and I think it fits so much better than the other one.
Yeah, I do too. Somebody once said, and I can't remember who, but, you know, seen from a cosmic perspective, everything becomes kind of funny.
Yeah.
And I think the faith that Hassan has in Allah and what I have learned about faith through him helps me be able to look at the individual elements that make up your daily life from that cosmic perspective.
You know, it's so easy, Yisuko, for us who live elsewhere to disassociate with people who live elsewhere. You know, you talked about the solidarity that you have amongst the Palestinian people, but the community or the bond, if you will, the camaraderie between them, that's quite strong. And you've gleaned, you know, as you said a moment ago, courage from that, haven't you?
Yeah, absolutely. I don't know what more to say about that.
And so that's something that's important to Hassan to sort of, I guess, reflect in the writing, isn't it?
the courage that comes from Allah?
Just the idea that the Palestinians who have suffered as they have, how they manage to stay together and get through it as best as they have.
Yeah, absolutely. The way that people come together time and time again, I'm remembered at different scenes in the book where, you know, people are helping others dig their families out of the rubble, trying to find those who are still alive, but also trying to get to the remains of those who've been martyred, using whatever they have. They're, you know, finding sticks or using their bare hands. And,
he also writes about how the Palestinians have been dehumanized, as they have, by not just, say, Israel, but the Western media. I guess they are cognizant of how they are regarded in the rest of the world, right?
Absolutely. And the desperation does come across where Hassan writes, you know, it feels like the world has chosen to abandon us. You know, what is this silence? What disgrace, he writes, has been carved into our foreheads? But at the same time, I think, you know, he also reflects on the way that when messages of solidarity or hope, faith come from the international community, how that also means a lot. They recognize that, you know, there are millions of us around the world who want to celebrate with them in a free Palestine, and we are not going to stop the work of speaking out and organizing and calling out our complicit governments and media until that happens.
Do you have hope that that'll change in, say, how the media looks at that story? The media here, especially since we're both Canadian and we live in Canada, do you think there will be change in how that part of the world is regarded?
I think in pockets, I have hope. I mean, you and I are talking about this right now, and that's great. For the lamestream media, you know, I just think of the title of Omar El-Akkad's book, One Day Everyone Will Have Always Been Against This. And we've been pressuring. We're not going to stop. We keep calling them out. That's all we can do, right? It's our duty to continue doing that. And I think, you know, yes, it's good to have hope, but it's also good to keep your eyes focused just simply on the next task in front of you, and you know, we continue to do our duty.
The other thing that the book does so well is capture the psychological toll. I mean, it's one thing to dodge bullets and bombs and the sort, survive, if you will, in that regard. But the psychological toll, that's something, you know, I was thinking of the sounds of war even. And he captures that in the book so well. I guess it's necessary for those of us who aren't in that part of the world to read about that and to witness it, if you will, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there are no shortage of images with sound bites coming out of Gaza for people who do want to learn more about what is happening down there. You know, one of the most powerful pieces of footage that I've watched, where a music teacher has got these drones constantly in the background, and he was complaining, you know, this has been happening for days and I can't sleep, and he began humming along with the drones and singing harmonies along with the drones. And
it's a thing about survival and how we find it in whatever way we can, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the true psychological toll will not be measured for years and years still to come.
Yeah. What is the book's publication? What has that meant to Hassan?
He's so thrilled. He's like, I still can't believe that it's been turned into a book and that I have a book out there and that the words are reaching people. And I sent him a message after the book launch that we had here in my hometown on Lekwungen territory on Saturday night, and shared with him that as I was reading a passage of his book, there was a man who was weeping in the corner. There was a woman who was there who was a survivor from the 1948 NAPBA who came and spoke to me afterwards, and how when I finished reading, the applause went on and on for minutes, and he was just floored at the outpouring and the support. And he actually, and the mosque was really nice, and they gave me a box of chocolates, and they also gave me a box of chocolates for Hassan after the launch, which I told him about, and he says, okay, but make sure you don't eat mine. the day will come where you will deliver that to me and we will eat it together.
And I guess the book, I mean, I can just imagine what his reaction would be if he saw the book, right?
Yes. Yeah, one day we have a date to to flip through the pages of the hard copy together, and I'll deliver his chocolates and we'll eat Palestinian oranges.
There you go. In terms of the publication of the book, I mean, has the benefits to him or the people around him, has that happened yet? I know the book's just been launched, so I can't, I mean, but you mentioned in advance earlier.
Yeah, and we were able to get that into Gaza without any trouble, which in itself is a miracle.
Yeah.
I mean, I was very cognizant at the time that we sent that to him that an onion was going for $15 US, a single onion at that time. So, you know, we knew that the advance was just like a drop in the bucket, but, you know, hopefully it helps a little bit.
Yeah, that's the other thing that I got as I was reading the book, is that, you know, these sort of staples that we have in our pantries, for example, things that we take for granted that sit at the back of the pantries even, it's gold there, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, this is a place where, again, anybody who has an Instagram account and cared to look would see children who were trying to pick flour up out of the sand where it had been spilled, you know. Children picking little stones out of individual grains of rice that had fallen on the street.
Yeah.
And then, you know, of course, how do you cook when there's no fuel?
Right.
And so just running out and trying to find whatever you can, even if it's plastic that, you know, is going to pollute the environment and get into your food. I mean, you don't have a choice.
Mm-hmm. As an editor, because I was reading his writing, Hassan's writing, and thinking about the craft of writing, he's not obviously a trained writer, but I can see how the study of architecture, maybe, how that might have influenced how he crafts a sentence even. Did you see that?
Oh, that is really interesting. You know, now that you mention it, I do see what you're talking about. It wasn't something that occurred to me at the time, but yeah, I think you're right.
Yeah, because the way he's crafted some of these sentences in the book, or the essays even, if you look at it from afar, you can see that there's something, it's not just the writing that one does when, you know, you get inspired by creativity. There's something well thought out here, isn't there?
Yeah, absolutely.
And I guess as an editor, that must make the editing part easier, does it?
Well, the editing, yeah. I mean, the editing was very, very easy. The most difficult part, honestly, was sort of undoing what some well-meaning people in the Solidarity community had done with the original Reddit posts. They had sort of pulled them out of the chronological order and were trying to arrange them under these different, you know, fancy thematic headings and such, you know, and I saw that it would just be much more effective if we simply put them back in the chronological order and then just kind of stitch the narrative together in that way. It didn't need a fancy conceptual apparatus, in other words, to get the message across.
Yeah, indeed, indeed. It's a remarkable piece of work in his writing, obviously, but also in your hands as an editor. I so appreciate your time today that you've spent talking to me about it.
Well, I so appreciate you giving me the opportunity to talk about it. Thank you. That's so valuable.
Pizza Before We Die, An Eyewitness Account in Gaza by Hassan Kanafani and edited by Yasuko Tan is published by Arsenal Pulp Press. Yasuko, join me on the line from Victoria in Vancouver. I'm Joseph Plunton.